This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Recapping game week 34 at the midway point. Very strange week, Brandon.
If this is the movie version of the FPL season, Josh, I think it's the point right when the zombie outbreak is happening and the movie flashes to the newscast and the newscasters are like, "We don't know what's going on, but it's a slaughter out there. It's a bloodbath. Yeah. Stay inside." That's pretty much how I feel right now. It is total anarchy craziness.
I guess I don't know where that situates me then. I have 109 points.
You're basically like Brad Pitt's girlfriend in this situation. You're probably going to survive, but you're not the hero.
I was thinking it's more like it's the end of the world, and I'm like, wait, is this good for me? Like, am I bloodthirsty enough? Like, is this like, am I the right kind of person for end times?
You know? Right. Will you be able to do what it takes to survive?
Exactly.
Well, clearly you've shown you're tough enough to this point. You triple captained Aguero. You're one of the few, the proud.
So we talked about, yeah, so it's been as everyone who's listening to this podcast knows, it's been a very unusual game week so far. Recording this after the Man City Newcastle match, a pretty interesting match actually, mostly because Newcastle. This match was more about Newcastle looking good than Man City looking bad, I thought. I thought they really – Cheick Tiote had his best game in like 5 years. He was unbelievable.
No yellow card even.
Yeah,
Which is unreal.
Yeah, yeah, they really play well.
This game was also evidence that Newcastle should have – I mean, I guess it's tricky because Benitez was at Real Madrid for quite a while. But if they had somebody like him at the midway point, there's no way that Newcastle is in this situation.
I mean, the players who can't even make the starting lineup on that team. You know, I mean, you know, Mitrovic and
John Joe Shelby.
I mean, you know, but all Premier League
players. Don't laugh at poor John Joe.
You have to a little bit. Yeah, it's just a strange. I mean, the makeup of that team is kind of strange, and you know, I don't know. It's, I mean, you hear things about you know, the French influence on that team, and whether there's like two factions there, and I mean, who knows if all that's true or what? But yeah, it does seem like they're playing a lot better. And you know, Mitrovic is interesting to me. You know, a lot of people did bring him in for the double game week, and it hasn't been terrible. At least they did pick up an assist for him. I think in total he's only had probably like what is it 6 points total over the two game weeks. or over the two matches, I should say, not the two game weeks.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here. 5 points total. So a bit of a, you know, although at the same time, I brought in Martial and I'm on 1 point. So, you know, who knows?
Martial.
I'm just saying Martial like an American. This is like Roberto Martinez versus, yeah, Roberto Martinez. Just, it's Martinez. Yeah, the Mitrovic thing, not to get too down this match, down the... Not to talk too long about it. Not especially interesting match in the long run. But
Especially in light of, and not to go off the FPL page too much, but especially in light of the Jonas Gutierrez headlines earlier this week, I think we both agreed that we're ready for Newcastle to just be burnt to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
so, sorry to all you Newcastle fans.
No, I think the Newcastle fans feel the same way. I mean, I don't know that anybody could hear about that Jonas story and not feel like Newcastle behaved really, really, you know, terribly.
Right.
But I was just going to say about Mitrovic, I mean, it must be that whatever he brings to the table, he can only bring in about 25 to 30 minute, you know, chunks, because even before Benitez came in, I mean, it was very hard for him to get a consistent 90 minutes in a match.
Yeah.
Maybe he just, I don't know if it's if he's not in shape enough, or if he just plays, if he plays too hot, you know.
Yeah, he seems like a very emotional player, one that probably thinks too much with his gut and less with his brain. And if you're going to try and play out a specific type of tactic over 90 minutes, you need somebody that does play less with their heart, I suppose.
I know you have some gut problems as well.
So, yeah, major. there's a giant hole in my stomach, and it causes me great pain.
He plays like he has Crohn's, and you know everything you need to know about that.
That's no laughing matter.
No. So, Brandon, let's recap both of our teams here. So on the last podcast, for faithful listeners, they will know that I was going back and forth between Sergio Aguero and then ultimately playing it safe and going with Alexis Sanchez. And in the end, I decided that, you know, I understand why most people went Alexis Sanchez, and it may still come off, you know, in the end. I mean, it's probably not going to come off to the degree that Aguero did, because in the end, I picked up 26 points from Aguero, tripled. So, you know, I picked up 78 points in the end, which has to be the all-time high for a double game week, right? I mean, there's no way that anybody – I know the triple captain
He's still technically 1 point shy of matching his Newcastle haul in game week 8. So even if you account for the triple captain.
No, it's not true. In game week 8, he had 25 points. In this double game week, he had 26 points.
Okay, I must have done my math wrong, surprisingly.
So it's four goals, so that's 16 points. Two starts, that's 4 points. And then 6 points.
It was the second 2 points for the 60 minutes I wasn't taking into account.
Okay. Yeah. So, unbelievable week from Sergio Aguero. I did decide to triple captain him. At the last moment, I was so anxious leading up to this week. I mean, I talked about it on Twitter a little bit, and I know a lot of people felt the same way. It's amazing, actually, for me, considering I've had this terrible season. I'm not really even playing for anything, and yet I just, like, I was so focused on making the right decisions, and it just got more and more complicated as the game week rolled on. You know, I mean, there's concerns about who was going to start for Liverpool, and then, you know, concerns about whether Barkley or Lukaku, two players I had on my team, would even make the 18, you know, for Everton's match this weekend, and just all of these difficult choices that had to get resolved. And it was like every news conference, there was like more bad news, like more decisions to reckon with. And so I went from thinking I wasn't going to make any transfers at all this week to taking a 4 point hit, mm-hmm. which actually worked out. It's too early to tell how it's worked out. It certainly hasn't worked out well. I picked up 2 points for my transfer so far, and I would have had 1 point. So it's been worth minus three so far. I dropped Lukaku and Barkley, and I brought in Martial and Payet. Now, mm-hmm. Martial is home to Crystal Palace tomorrow. Payet is home to Watford tomorrow. These moves could both pan out in the end. Certainly, especially given that you wanted Everton for the double game week more for their home match at Watford than you did the midweek match. Did they play Watford this weekend, right? Am I right about that?
They played Watford in game week 33. This week they started home to Southampton,
right.
So I mean, speaking as somebody who held on to Lukaku, the whole aim was just quantity of fixtures with the double in game week 33, and then neither of these fixtures for Everton in game week 34 are at all appealing. Even though they're at home to Southampton, who has a really terrific defense, and then they're away in the Merseyside derby, and Everton just look like total dog crap right now. It's I think you were really wise to drop, especially Barkley, but even Lukaku, even though you did, it did blow up in your face with that Jamie Vardy red card. In spite of him scoring a goal, you end up with two. But now, but still, I'm less than enthusiastic sitting on Lukaku going into this Merseyside derby tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm a little I don't know what to think. It's the whole thing is – so this week was just a huge reminder of how – okay, so here's – the problem is that most double game weeks – don't come quite this late in the season from what I recall. I mean, in most game, you know, most seasons you have a double game week early on in the season, typically because an English Premier League team has made has won the Europa League or the Champions League or something, or they have to like go play in like one of these like World Club Cup competition. Like there's typically like, you know, maybe you get your fix like in the first couple weeks, and then you get one in week eight, and then there's like a League Cup final, and then there's
Chelsea's playing in the Club World Cup at the very start of the season.
Yeah, so there's like the double game week in game week 25, so you kind of scratch the itch a little bit. And so this season, we didn't have any double game weeks until game week 34, and then we had a whole ton of them. And then managers, for the first time ever, in most of our cases, certainly in my case, because it's like impossible for me to go to more than 3 weeks without playing my wild card. Managers had a wild card in the second half of the season they could use. And so we all waited until not all of us, but the vast majority of us, waited until game week 33, played the wild card. We all picked up the same fucking template players.
More or less.
Three Liverpool, three Everton, you know, and it hasn't, I mean, and it's been a mixed bag. It hasn't been all bad, but it's been pretty bad. And you know, and the biggest mistake of all is that many of us, including me, dropped all of our Tottenham players, you know, and I mean, Dele Alli was, what a huge mistake. You know, I dropped a 5 million player for Lanzini,
who's great. 5.9, I think he is now, to be fair.
Yeah, but whatever I bought him at, right? 5.1 or something. I drop him for Lanzini, which is, he didn't even start away to Leicester.
He looked great for those 30 seconds he was on the field, though. Yeah. My word.
I mean, the Kane Vardy thing at least has been a wash so far because I picked up. I picked up 15 from Vardy. I picked up 15 from Kane. You know, obviously now I won't have Vardy for game 35, so it's not going to work out unless Harry Kane gets like a -2 or something this weekend. So I'm probably burning points on game week 35. I can't see how I can't burn at least 4 going into this game week, right? I'm sure you're in the same position.
Yeah, I am. As we discussed last week, I will not be able to field a full 11 unless I burn 4 points. So for me, going into 35, it becomes a conundrum of just my faith in burning transfer points actually reaping me a benefit. And, you know, I think I have to, particularly if you're looking at Spurs players. I got rid of all my Spurs players with my wild card, immediately regretted it, and brought in old faithful Eric Dyer on a -4 transfer hit going into week 34, which... he gave me a clean sheet.
Fine, and you're set up for 35. Yep.
And I'm set up as far as Spurs defense goes. But this was my concern and other managers' concerns going into this.
You made two transfers though, Brennan. I want to hear the other one, because the other one made me laugh when I saw it.
You think it's so funny. What was my other transfer? Oh, Fosu Mensah. Well, okay, listen. I can draw this out in some sort of logic problem, right? Okay, so the wish, of course, is that Fosu Mensah magically becomes like the Rhys Oxford of game week 1, right? Like, can you believe how cheap this guy is? Mm-hmm. And he's going to get a start in that United defense, the like most notoriously rotated defense in all the land.
Only Chris Smalling stays.
So, yeah, I get burned by Fosu Mensah not starting. He comes in as a sub, and I get the dreaded 1 point. But it does free up a certain amount of cash. So going into game week 35, I have 1.2 million in my bank to play around with, and it allows me to maybe probably bring in somebody like Harry Kane for Lukaku with no problem. And so I can justify the Fosu Mensah, say he is not a regular starter. I can just bench him. That's a 3.9 bencher, and that's fine.
Yeah. Although I don't think you need to be that concerned about value this late in the season. I mean, I guess if the idea had been that you could bring in Lukaku for Kane and not take a 4-point hit, then that's
I disagree with that, because you do need to be concerned about value, particularly the situation we find ourselves in, because we are all in the worst wild cards of our life. Look at all this rotation, and we all lost our Spurs players, which we now desperately need back. I need as much cash as possible. Okay, so
it's the weirdest. It's the weirdest week. I mean, I'm on 109 points. My goalkeeper Mignolet hasn't even played a match. Hopefully, he'll play tomorrow. I have 6 combined points from my defenders. 3 from Gabriel. 1 from Sacco, who didn't start, and then but came in weirdly at like the 70th minute mark, and then 2 from Beller. And oh god, like doubling up on the Arsenal defense, what a complete blunder that was. I mean, we all should have known, right? I mean, what foolishness.
Well, no, that's not foolish. Arsenal has one of the best defenses in the league. It was just a terrible goal to let in. It was very shameful, and you do feel ashamed of yourself doubling
did
up.
Did you feel ashamed because you have Peter Cech in your team and it was his fault? Is that well? Did you, yes, you take it personally?
I take personal responsibility for okay, every all you cheaters out there listening, it's my fault for bringing in Peter Cech. If it weren't for me willing this to happen, David Ospina would still be in goal.
It was amazing because
failing to collect corner kicks.
It was
getting
very
scored
similar.
On Andy Carroll as much as Andy Carroll wants.
It was. Are you done?
No, I'm not done. This, okay, that was a fluky goal. Like, how many times is a fluke? Well, fluke is not the exact right word to describe it. How many times does just a goal get scored?
It happened to him. It's happened to him twice this year. This happened in game week 1 against West Ham. He gets beat at the near side post. Like, I don't know how you can be playing at the near side post. Like, he was 2 feet from the post. Same thing happened in game week 31. 2 feet from the post, the ball goes down, and he gets beat, like falling down to catch the ball. I mean,
he's an old man. He can't get down that fast.
it was just kick your feet and don't dive.
It was quite a bit of luck, I'll say that. I mean, quite a bit of luck combined with Cech just being really slow to get down. But listen, look at these fixtures of all of the squads going into game week 34. Who would you have banked on for the most defensive points?
I really wish that I had just brought back in Chris Smalling because or brought in De Gea for that matter. It was really Smalling I just personally dislike so much because I've had so much bad luck with him this year. De Gea I should have brought in though. But the problem was I really wanted to bring in Robles for the double game week, and if I have De Gea and Robles, then I don't have a goalkeeper for game week 35. So you had to pick one or the other.
Going back to that Bolasie goal real quick, I would be I'm not blaming Cech. I'm actually blaming your player, Gabriel, on that, because he was tracking Adebayor down the sideline, and I was just screaming at the TV like, Gabriel, take him out, take the yellow. Of course, I wanted you to get a yellow card from Gabriel, but right. I knew this Arsenal team is just so lazy and in their own ass that the midfield isn't going to track back. And if Adebayor gets that forward, they're going to have a shot on goal. And anything could happen. So I blame Gabriel for not taking him out.
We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but let's just briefly talk. So we talked about my team a fair amount. The other thing that worked out really well for me is I had Roberto Firmino, who is the only midfielder that anybody brought in who actually started on that Liverpool midfield. I got really lucky. I picked up a very lucky goal, and then Sturridge actually should have scored in a back heel, and keeper made a pretty good save, and then Firmino was there to basically like to Clint Dempsey it in. You know, Clint Dempsey was sort of famous for scoring goals with like every part of his body but his foot.
Yeah, you know, his great pelvis goal against Portugal in the World Cup.
So he like knees it, and then of course he celebrates by like flexing and running around. I don't know that I personally like Firmino that much, but
celebrations are the best. He had a series of celebrations where he'd half take his jersey off and then wag his finger like, no, 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 that's a yellow card.
Yeah, he's I like, so I picked up 11 for Firmino, and then I picked up 9 from Sanchez. So let's talk about your team a little bit. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit already, but you triple captained Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, so I haven't seen the
second match yet.
No, we haven't. So I've done all the math on Alexis Sanchez. So he's on 27 right now if you triple captain, and everybody in the triple captain boat, odds are that you probably went with Alexis as opposed to Aguero. So all you Alexis triple caps out there, I feel your pain. So here we are sitting on 27. Aguero sitting on 78, right? Okay, so just imagine that Alexis gets 2 goals and a clean sheet in all 3 BPS against West Brom. That nets him 48 points plus 27, and that's 75. So I feel like that is probably like as best as one could reasonably hope for. Like okay. to just hope for a hat trick seems like you're shooting the moon too much.
Against a West Brom team that's reasonably good. I mean, they're not. I don't know. They conceded 1 goal to. Actually, no, they won, didn't they? No, they lost because Berahino missed penalties.
Oh yeah, we can talk about Aurelio Gomez if you really want to. Like holy,
it's amazing
holy crap.
That Aguero on a hat trick and 3 bonus points actually needed to score more points in the Newcastle match just to be the highest scoring performer this week. Because of the was it 18 or 19, whatever Gomez racked up.
He got 19. I was looking at that stat because I didn't really follow that Watford West Brom game, and I was looking at his stats and I was like, 2 penalty saves. Sometimes when you look at a player's stats, they're weirdly multiplied if you've captained them.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was some weird math like that just because it was a crazy double game. Like anyway, so I feel like the best one could hope for is 2 goals and a clean sheet from Sanchez, and that draws him 3 points short of matching Aguero, which I would feel would be splendid. But say Sanchez does get a hat trick, that's 63 points if you include a clean sheet on a total rout, and that would bring him up to 90 points. So the shoe will truly be on the other foot if Alexis Sanchez manages to get a hat trick.
I haven't been too cocky or gloating. I mean, I do understand the rationale for captaining Sanchez, and you know, if I were doing better this season, I probably would have done it myself. But I mean, there is like a certain, I mean, it's kind of funny. You see people on Twitter, it was so fun. I mean, partially because I've been on the wrong side of Twitter meltdowns this year. A lot of Eden Hazard inspired meltdowns beginning half of the season.
LOL.
Yeah. But I think people were like, well, who would even consider a captain in Aguero? It's like this group thing takes over, and it's like, I mean, I'm no economist, but like, you know, there are some like basic game theory ideas in play here, right? I mean, you know, if everyone is advocating for a certain player and you're trying to make up ground, it makes a lot of sense to go for somebody else. I mean, especially in a game like this, where if things fall your way, you can make up 50 or 60 points, you know? And I just felt like I was seeing, and not everybody, but certain people. In fact, I think most people were pretty complimentary of people who captained Aguero. but there was this, you know, there's certain people were like, well, come on, you had to captain Sanchez. You had to do it. It's like, well, I mean, Sanchez has not been the most consistent scorer this year. I mean, he missed he could have had a hat trick over the weekend, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're trying to be too logical about it. You know, those Twitter rants are based solely on the scales being tipped too far the other way. The fact that Aguero comes away from that away match with the hat trick, even before Alexis has played, of course, people are going to be freaking out. They're going to be really angry. So, yeah. You know, of course, there are mega trolls out there on Twitter. But a lot of people are probably just exercising all the FPL demons that have been manifesting themselves through this painful season.
It's been a tough year.
It has been tough. So I don't know. I think the way I'm looking at my team right now, I'm sitting at 75 points on a triple captain Sanchez. De Bruyne is the big disappointment here. He's sitting on just 8 points when De Bruyne has been on fire in every single game other than the games in which he has appeared in my fantasy team. So he scores in their two Champions League fixtures, and the match, the league match right before I bring him in, into my squad. And while he still looks good, he just wasn't involved. And then I think what also really screwed my team was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 cameos on the first day. So yeah. that's just 4 one-pointers right off the bat. And, you know, we were texting about this all Saturday morning. Of it was just these rotations are just gutting.
There was a certain – I mean,
James Milner got rotated.
The fact that we were all – like that all of us were hit, so like no one was spared, right? I mean, a very few managers were spared. I'm looking now. I see the highest score is 177 points, so maybe like one manager wasn't spared. But I think
one manager who is not even paying attention to what's going on right now. Right. You have to imagine there's a triple captain there. There's no ghost ship scoring 177.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, I think the fact that all of us – like, it was impossible to be immune to rotation this week. It was kind of fun, and I know I say this as – but even before Aguero played on Saturday, you know, I mean, I had nothing going for me before Aguero played on Saturday. I had no – I had, like, you know, I had a one-pointer from that was the weird thing, too, is I guess I hadn't looked at the fixture list well enough, but – I had nothing to watch on Saturday. I don't know about you. Like 10 o'clock rolls around and I'm like, what am I going to watch? I have no, like, Martial didn't start. Like I got nothing.
Well, you know, I mean, that was
hopping around.
That was the ultimate tweet from @HailCheaters. Of course, Josh and I talk a lot about on this podcast, the pure watch for us fantasy managers. The pure watch is a game in which you have no fantasy implications and you can just sit back and enjoy the football. And when all of those lineups came out for the middle round of fixtures Saturday, Josh, you tweeted out like suddenly the Saturday morning has become a 100% pure watch, which is so true. It was so true.
So frustrating. I mean, you wouldn't think, I mean, going into this game week, I had 11 players, 10 of the 11 were playing twice. And you know, I just, who would have thought that I wouldn't have anything to watch early on in the day, nor did I even in the first match, because like most people, I didn't have anybody in the Norwich Sunderland match. So I actually enjoyed watching that match.
Oh yeah. I mean, that pure watch, through and through right there. The relegation scrap is one of the highlights of this tail end of the season.
Absolutely. It's not that that's what this podcast is about, but yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, if Sunderland just pick up a point in their double game week, they'll be level with Norwich, And Newcastle is only two back. So, yeah, it's 29, 30, and 31 in those final spots above Aston Villa.
Yeah, Black Cats in the ascendancy right now. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm really, with my squad, not looking forward to this Merseyside derby. Lukaku now on 0 points. I fear Firmino on your squad is going to do to me against
it's hard to know.
It is hard. Maybe Firmino doesn't even make the bench.
Yeah, maybe Mignolet doesn't play again. Brad Smith or whatever looked pretty good in his match. So Brad Jones, right, is that whatever that guy's name?
Stewart something Stewart, Steve Stewart, Ernie Stewart. it's just they keep unfurling these players.
Danny Ward.
If our friend Steven Schaller is listening, he certainly knows that Liverpool lineup better than I do.
I love that they conceded a goal right at the end too. Just a great like FU. It was like 89th minute, game totally over, and then they were like, let's just lose the clean sheet too.
That was actually the game of bum tweets or tweet fails, because I saw one tweet go out halftime, Liverpool won, Bournemouth 0, when of course Sturridge scored a goal right before halftime, and then I think somebody tweeted 2-0 final score toward the end of the game. So I had no stake in the game whatsoever. I was half paying attention.
Strange one.
Is this enough of us kvetching about our game weeks? Should we check in on how our listeners are doing?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, let's try to get ourselves back on track here a little bit. So we asked Twitter for some questions, comments, kvetches, etc. And I thought I'd read just a few, let's just call them Twitter rants at the top here. We can talk about them or just let them be, depending on how we feel about each particular tweet. These are most of these people are people who have long time posters. Dave from Burnley says he spent a negative eight in all three players he brought in benched. That's pretty brutal.
Classic. Absolutely. Yep. They were probably a mixture of United and Liverpool players, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I know. A lot of us got on that Marshall train.
If not all United players. Fosu Mensah for me, LOL, yeah, fair enough. Jesse Lingard, like, had this bank problems, okay? And then Anthony Martial for me. All three cameos for what should have been a very bankable fixture against the first relegated team of the season.
On a minor note, I can't believe that Lingard came in over Martial when they made that sub. Were you surprised about that? Why did they bring? Like, it was a 1-0 game. They actually could have drawn that match.
It was the same logic that went into Van Gaal putting Ashley Young up at like the striker position at halftime the previous match. Who knows what's going on in that man's mind?
Yeah, agreed. All right, Alex Waterbaby says. Alex says, how big of a points hit is too big a points hit to right this sinking ship? And it was actually led to a pretty enjoyable conversation between him and Kat Mortensen on Twitter, going back and forth between the size of the ship and like the level of the disaster it is.
This is like going back like in the movie Jaws, where they famously say we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, basically. I mean, are you okay? So you're thinking a 4-point hit for game week 35.
Yeah, and a 4-point hit gets me a full 11.
Assuming people actually play.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's minus four to get a full 11 that A, I'm not entirely happy with, and B, there's no guarantee that they all play. So, but any more than that, it's a poker expression that you know full well, Josh, but you just can't go on tilt in this situation. You can't lose your mind. You can't just start trying to rehash your whole team. As we say time and time again, it doesn't happen in a vacuum, and you just can't give up on some of these guys after what has been an excruciating week for a number of different reasons.
You know, what's interesting about game week 35, too, is that despite the fact that a lot of teams aren't playing, a lot of people are going to have are going to struggle to field a full 11. There are actually a number of very difficult captain dilemmas that'll take place in game week 35. And there is no consensus captain as far as I'm concerned for game week 35. You have Arsenal away to Sunderland. Definitely be goals there. You have Leicester at home to Swansea. You could certainly think about Captain Amarez there, despite him being a little off the boil. Man City at Stoke. I would be very tempted to Captain Aguero, but I'm not sure if he's going to. It'd be a great time to rest Aguero.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Tottenham hosting West Brom at home.
Yeah.
Liverpool's hosting Newcastle.
Yeah.
So it's a weird mix. You know, you have a lot of players who you could captain this game week. I don't know who I'm going to captain at the moment. I don't know if it's ironic or just interesting.
Okay.
It's like I try not to use the word ironic because before I say it, I think to myself, is this actually ironic? Like if you have
it rain on your wedding day?
Yeah, exactly. But yes, Alexis Sanchez to me is a player I'd really think about captaining away to Arsenal.
That's interesting.
Or away to Sunderland.
That would be an amazing game. Arsenal away to Arsenal. Like, wow.
How many late goals? It would be nil-nil until they both concede three goals on either side in the last 2 minutes.
I don't know. That Sunderland-Arsenal game has Arsenal game written all over it, as in Sunderland wins 2-0 or something like that.
You know what? We're all going to talk ourselves into various players, and and then the person who captained Mahrez in game week 10 and stopped playing 25 weeks ago is going to reap the benefits when he goes for like a hat trick.
Yeah,
you know, Mahrez. Okay, just to state it here and for the record, because I may end up actually captaining Mahrez at home to Swansea with Jamie Vardy out. He's going to be shouldering the load a little bit more. Uh-huh. I think he is an underrated captain choice for this game week. I know he's off the boil, but I think very underrated captain choice.
He is off the boil. I think some of the hesitation, too, is how are they going to line up? What's the formation going to be? I think the odds would be that Okazaki and Joa is just a like-for-like swap.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. How does that change the dynamic with Mahrez then?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I think I just wonder if it shakes him from whatever funk he's in, and he feels like he has to step up in Vardy's absence. Yeah, I mean, that it's interesting over the course of the season how the pendulum has shifted between those two over who's the more valuable player in that. I mean, leaving Conte out of the equation, but just, you know, of the sort of attacking players in that team, who's the more important one? You know, is it Mahrez? Is it Vardy? I mean, you know, when Vardy scored whatever it was, you know, 13 weeks in a row, it was him, and then he kind of stopped scoring for a while, and suddenly Mahrez, you know, goes away to Swansea, and I think does he have a hat trick in that match, or whatever he has, you know, it's like 17 points. So, it's just interesting, you know.
Dare I say Ajoa, since he's clearly on penalties, is worth a bit of a punt if you're looking for something new up front?
I think it's too much of a punt because Leicester's fixtures to end the season are pretty poor.
Right. Well, yeah. but that said, Ajoa, he would be a 1 week punt because Vardy's only, well, at this point, I think we don't know exactly how long he's going to be out.
Right.
It could be more than 1 week, but a 1 week punt, maybe. I mean, if you're really strapped for funds and you need to field a full 11, I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, I like it.
And you could have Mahrez and Albrighton resorting to crosses into the box, Ajoa being the big boy that he is.
Well, it's an interesting theory, Brandon. It's all wrong, but it's an interesting theory. Okay, who are you thinking about captaining this game week? My guess would be that you're planning to bring Kane in and you're going to captain him at home to West Brom.
Well, if you look at the Spurs team, of all of these teams, Spurs are the most consistent, and Spurs have nothing else to play for other than the league. So, Kane versus Aguero. Kane is more likely to start. Kane versus Sanchez. Kane is at home, and Arsenal's form is just very unpredictable. So, yeah, I
didn't
agree.
Ask for your explanation, man.
I'm just saying. I want to talk you through it. I want to help our listeners out who want the logic problem to be unraveled.
Yeah.
But I think that of course immediately points to Kane as the most logical option. Whether he's the best option, whether he's the option that will pan out, no one knows.
No one knows. We shall soon find out. All right, let's get back to the rants. Because I'm enjoying these. All right, the next one is from the Thin White Juke, who says, my horror story, 105 points so far with triple captain Sanchez, second game to come, smug as fuck. So I slipped in a rave or whatever the opposite of a rant is.
It was
a personal rave.
It was a humble brag. Don't we not allow humble brags on the Twitter?
And so I actually responded to him and I wrote hashtag. My only response was hashtag no humble straight brag.
That's a very elaborate hashtag.
It was, but it's
so. So, what did the Thin White Juke actually do to get to 105? I assume. Okay, so he's triple captain Sanchez. He must have Aguero. So he's bench boosting, or wait, no, he's obviously not. He's clearly got three Spurs players, right?
I don't know. He didn't share his team with me, but that sounds about right. This was before the Man City match, so he could be on who knows how many points now.
He could be in outer space counting all of his points.
Yeah, maybe he started Cheek Tiote and picked up 2 points from him. You know, he could be 107 points right now. All right, Scott Gill says, and this I'm not even sure what this is exactly. It's like it's a rant and a sad story. It's everything. It says was on tilt, took a 20-point hit, decided to triple captain De Gea, check my team after the games, and forgot to save my team. Schmeichel in goals, captain still on Bolasie, Firmino, Nasri, and De Gea on the bench. Hopefully, Bolasie can rescue my blunder.
What's the blunder here? I feel like he was very fortunate. What I want to know from Scott is who his vice captain was.
Right. I mean, if he was captaining,
or who his captain ended up being.
Yeah, I don't know. And did the 20-point hit go through, I wonder? Or
Wait. He says, captain's still on Bolasie. Okay, since Bolasie gets the goal and Bolasie got three bonus, So it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be worse. We need more information, Scott. You need to like post a screenshot of your team or something. let's revisit this question on Facebook or Twitter.
Maybe it's just a gripe, Josh. Just let Scott just get a little something off his chest, and I think everything's going to be fine.
That's true.
Once Sanchez, scores 15 goals against West Brom.
This game could be over in 2 days. Game week 35 will be starting after that. I look forward to having 6 players start in that match. It'll be very, very, very intense.
Stop for one moment and consider 15 goals. 15 goals. Can you imagine? 15 goals by Alexis Sanchez.
Is that what happens? Oh, 15 goals on Thursday.
In one game.
Yeah.
In one game. Can you imagine?
What is the record for most goals scored in a Premier League game, do you think? It can't have more than...
It's six, I think, because Aguero was on to tie it against Newcastle, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and they took him off really early in that match, didn't they?
Didn't it was like the 65th minute or something.
Yeah, God, he could have scored like 7 in that match.
How many times have I pulled up that game week and just gazed upon?
It's extraordinary. It was 2 years in a row. I mean, God, like coming into this next season, the game week 8, we're all going to be ready for the famous game week. I think it's always before an international break, too. I think that's usually how they stay. Or the early season. So, all right, let's go on to the Hail Tudor Super League. We can't really talk about because they've updated the points, the game week points, but they haven't updated the total score. So all we can do is see who's doing well so far in the top 10. Now, Gearmeld is struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah,
with the Isle of
the pressure got to him. Poor guy.
He's captained Chris Smalling, so he's got a chance to make up some points still.
Yeah.
But it looks like Laith Kassab is going to be our first place player when all the points are tallied. He's at 126 game week points at the time being, and he was already ahead of Gearmeld going into this game week. So, oh, and we got confirmation from Gearmeld that he did not triple captain based on your triple captain Lukaku in game week 33 based on your argument. It was his own.
My very whimsical recommendation.
Yeah, he wrote us a very nice theme.
Yeah, thanks for taking that off my conscience, Gear. I really appreciate it. But William C., I see you, 134 points.
It's like sixth team name.
Yeah, right? wasn't he captain Hazard for a while?
He's all over the map.
Well, it's like a rally cap for some people, I think. I mean, Josh, you've changed your names changed your team name a couple times. That's true. This season.
I was Room Pig Genesis for a while.
Which is not how you started the season, I think.
Oh, I was Magic Micah Richards.
Yeah, right. then you're like, crap, Bill is going down.
And even Klopp and a half, I don't love. I mean, I was okay with it, but I got sick of changing my name. Right. Klopp and a half is where I'm going to end the season.
Yeah, I'm sort of jealous of people's ability to rotate their team name because I do like that as a way to sort of like change up your attitude. I've had the same dumpy BK Broilers name for the last 5 years.
You've got to change it this year.
I have. It's going to be tough, though. It's, people talk about me. People talk about that team name. It carries weight.
It has brand weight for you at this point.
Yeah, I've filled out all the copyright paperwork already.
Calvin Chan's up there as well. Mohamed El Kiassi. Graham McDonald's having a good game week. He's at 99. Down at the bottom, Owen O'Keefe's on 113. And Amanda Thiessen, like Tiffany Thiessen.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen from
Saint Paul. Yeah, now her name is not Amber Thiessen, so it could just be, that could be like the second cousins or something. Amanda Thiessen with 116 points has crept into 10th place.
Outstanding. Burkwit Lambs.
I like it. I'm always excited when there's a new name in the top 10. So we'll update, but once all the matches are played through Thursday, we'll send out an update with new top 10 on Facebook and Twitter. But for now, let's move on to game week. We've already been talking about it for like 40 minutes, but let's consider some key questions from game week 34, some of which we can't quite answer quite yet. So, first one is, triple captain versus bench book. Book, Templeton versus Bench Boost.
From here on out, the chip is referred to as the Bench Book.
Bench Book. Did it work, or is it too early to tell? Well, certainly for me, I can't. It's amazing the fact that I refuse to be happy that I'm on 78 points from Aguero, and I'm like, solid week. Like, good.
Oh, yeah. Solid. Yes. Yesterday, you were G-chatting me like, I'm going to be sick after that Spurs game. I'm just disgusted.
Some people, this is why I live in New York, Brandon, because I enjoy being unhappy. It's like, it's a feeling that I don't think I could live in like Los Angeles as tempting as it can. It's as much as I hear these siren songs sometimes, you know, I just think that I like the misery, you know, I don't know what it's doing to me.
Yeah. But in Los Angeles, it would be great because you wouldn't have to see so many people.
Yeah, well, that is true. But I'd be next to them in my car as I went to work.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Being in your car would give you another reason to be unhappy.
So triple captain versus bench boost. I can't speak too much for the bench boost. My feeling, and I wonder if you'll agree with me here, is that it probably – well, okay. So on one level, probably did work because if you held your Spurs players, they really came through for you in the bench boost. You know, I mean, players – if you held the Spurs players, maybe you didn't start – maybe you wouldn't have started them if you weren't bench boosting because you wanted those double game week players. But if you're bench boosting
anyways. So.
But I just mean, like, let's say you decided not to bench boost and play the triple captain. Yeah. You might not have Spurs players.
You would have benched Dele Alli probably.
Exactly. You probably still would have started Kane, but maybe because I started Vardy. But, you know, I think Alli I would have benched. So, you know, you see you picked up, was it 16 points from him? Mm-hmm. Or 15 points, I think. It kind of depends on what your bench boost look like. There are also probably people who bench boosted who had a complete disaster of a game week, right?
You bench boosted with only double game week players like the fantasy football scouts of the world were recommending,
right?
This has got to be an unmitigated disaster because you're totally fucked going into game week 35 and you missed out on all those Spurs points.
Yeah,
it
makes me feel a little better about waiting until game week 37 to bench boost because there was that moment where you're like, well, God, you know, I could have used my wild card. It's going to be harder to get like 10 or 11 double game week players for game week 37 for that bench boost because there are only so many unless you're burning like 20 points, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just now see that you're drinking beer while we record this podcast. Unless it's orange juice.
No, it is the only way in which I can get through game week 34. We're basically drinking through Thursday afternoon.
What are you drinking? What's your beer today?
I'm drinking a 6-point Bengali Tiger IPA, brewed here in the beautiful borough of Brooklyn, New York City.
That's, you know, by the way, I have like 50 beers left.
No, yeah. To dull a bit of the pain, we painted Josh's apartment over the weekend.
My wife was
basically doing the Gabion Agbong Lahore, who was apparently busted with a bunch of laughing gas in a hotel room after their game against Manchester United, and he's now being suspended from play. So we were consuming paint fumes, just like
we talked about the world of the purge for like a good hour afterwards. I hold that I want a whole TV show that just plays out different purge scenarios.
Not
just
even a TV show, but a whole cable network devoted to the purge universe and the extended purge universe.
I would watch 40 minutes of that a day, just random purge stories, different purge scenarios.
Then you would have the offshoot TV channel, which was basically Court TV, which American listeners will know as a cable channel that's all just like courtroom footage, and it would be just courtroom cases drawn out of the purge.
People being like, "Oh, it wasn't quite sundown yet when you burned my house down."
Yeah, exactly.
It was after 6 a.m. when you murdered my wife or whatever.
So I'm owed restitution. Absolutely. Yeah. The purge. It's happening. People, lock your doors.
We were talking about how – okay, I could go on. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you're going to be talking about the purge, and I can just talk for hours and hours. It's ridiculous.
Save it for our daily purge cast.
Right. So the triple captain worked out well for me. probably going to work out well for you. I mean, at this point, you're already on a goal and two bonus points from Sanchez. And if you can remove, you know, if you can just force yourself to take Aguero out of the equation, it's obviously going pretty well so far. If I told you, you know, like that, you know, if Aguero was not in the picture, and I just said, you know, through the first of two game weeks, you're on 9 points tripled from Sanchez, you'd be like, well, that's very solid. I'll take that.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it very solid, but I would say good, fine. Yeah, I'll take it.
It's pretty good. Okay, all right.
Yeah. I guess we're zeroing in on Alexis Sanchez too much. I'm just looking at my entire squad, and the only players that have really done anything have been Aguero and Sanchez.
Right. Yeah, I mean, other than Firmino, I'm pretty much in the same boat. Although you got that six from
I got Dyer. Yeah, the clean sheet from Dyer. And De Bruyne, I guess 8 points on a – 8 points looks good in a game week context, but a double game week with a guy that's plus 10 million pounds, and it's a lot of moolah for 8 points.
Yeah, and you know, Mahrez and Ozil haven't really come through either. I mean, I know a lot of people who bench boosted had Ozil, I suggested in the podcast last week that I thought Ozil was an interesting option for a triple captain just because he's so consistent. Honestly, he played Alexis on for a couple of goals that he really should have scored in the match, and
he did.
Probably a little unlucky to end up with only 2 points.
Yeah, it's true, but I think based on those two clear-cut triple captain options in Aguero and Sanchez, I feel like the game week will favor the triple captainers over the bench boost.
I think that you're right. Yes. Okay.
way to hedge your bets.
No, I mean, I think you're probably right. All right. Now, second question, Liverpool, should we have planned better for their rotation? Should we have seen this coming? You know, hindsight is 2020, but do we all, I mean, okay, well, the answer, there's an easy answer to this, which is that yes, we should have seen this coming, or we should have been talking about it more. I mean, there's, you know, Nick Cummings, I don't think patted himself on the back too much exactly, but you know, he was definitely like, this is a headache that I foresaw. And he was one of the few people who I feel like really did sort of make a case that you don't want any of these Liverpool, or you don't want too many Liverpool players to the double game weeks, because you know, if they had lost to Dortmund in the Europa League, I think some of this might have been a little easier. And I think, I don't know about you, I certainly was expecting them to lose to Dortmund. I mean, Dortmund's a better team, and it took a miracle for them to make it to the semifinals.
I mean, considering what Liverpool did the exact opposite of what Spurs did against Dortmund. Spurs said, you know what, we're favoring the league. We are not confident that we can win in the league with a weakened squad. So even though they have a pretty deep team at Spurs, and you would have expected them to fare a little better against Dortmund, they just sort of threw those games. Klopp, genius that he is.
Well, they didn't throw them because they won. They won both of them.
Wait, what? Yes. Liverpool didn't throw them. Exactly. But then...
Oh, they did throw them. I see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Liverpool didn't throw them, but what Klopp does is he fields a weakened team in the league, and they win those league games. Exactly. Right. So somehow Klopp's got it figured out, where Pochettino just maybe threw a little bit of lack of faith.
I don't know about that, because you know, Tottenham actually had a league to play for, and Liverpool have nothing to play for, right? I mean, but
yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, and in fact, if they win the Europa League, they're actually in the Champions League next year, probably taking Arsenal's fourth place spot, which is hilarious.
Yeah,
so delightful. I would laugh so hard.
This question, though, of should we have seen the rotation on Liverpool? It's kind of insane to have predicted that, like, Simon Mignolet wouldn't play, that the core center back pairing of Lovren and Sacco would have been rotated the way they have been.
Yeah, I feel better about Sacco now that Kolo Touré is not playing. I mean, I suppose Sacco. I think Sacco's going to play against Everton, but that wasn't the match you wanted for the double game week. I mean, Everton could score a goal certainly in that match. So yeah, the whole thing is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, the whole derby just is wildly unpredictable.
Our friend Dave Wegner-Lodahl writes, worth taking out Coutinho or Firmino now for hits because of rotation headaches, or are they hashtag tutties, which he then writes are totally unnecessary transfers, which is really, I told him that we're stealing that.
Yeah,
we're stealing it with
tip of the hat to David.
Yeah, we're crediting him on this very podcast, but we will be stealing it and using it forever. So, you know, hopefully he'll grant us a fair use license.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone who listened last week knows that the original Tutty stands for totally unnecessary drink. So here, yeah, David uses it to perfection. I don't know. Coutinho or Firmino out for hits? The question, I guess, is who do you replace them with?
Well, given that we're going into this game in 35, I don't think there's anything you can do. I mean, unless you
Spurs, like if you need a Dele Alli or a Christian Eriksen, yeah. I think that is definitely worth considering.
If you're running 12 or 13 strong going into game week 35, and you can bring those players out. I mean, for me, I have players who are definitely not going to play who I need to bring out for this game week. You know, I mean, I've got to take out Vardy. And I probably got to make one more move too. The Vardy thing just really screws me because I actually had a plan in place. I'm trying to plan for game week 37, and now I have to take out one of my double game week 37 players, which I wasn't planning to do. And so I have to decide whether I want to make two forward transfers. I might drop Martial and Vardy. I might drop Vardy and even Payet. You know, it's really a tricky
Josh,
one.
You are playing the Game of Thrones now, my friend.
I am fully engaged. I think it's because I'm sniffing a chance to tie you in the head-to-head. Now, if we tie, is it overall points, or is it just – do we just both take our money back? We haven't really talked about this.
I don't know. We have to talk about it.
Yeah. You're about to say
– Oh, I love this. I love that we're having this conversation now. I love it. Jesus Christ. Let's move on.
All right. Tottenham We talked about this a lot already, so I don't.
Oh, by the way, there's no way you're winning it. There's no way.
I will grant you, it's very unlikely. It's very unlikely. Tottenham. The key question here is: was dropping my Spurs players kind of stupid or really stupid? The answer here is really stupid. Graham McDonald on Twitter says, "Well, Sir Harry of Kane, forgive me for giving the boot and rejoin Gamchester United. I'm prepared to beg."
Yeah, beg, Graham, yeah. Beg with everything you have. Get in there.
Harry seems like a pretty good bloke, Harry Kane. You know, good guy.
Absolutely.
Not the smartest guy, perhaps, but, you know, seems like a good person.
And a great footballer. More do you want? Good person, great footballer, pretty good looking.
Yeah. I mean, the Tottenham is the ultimate refutation of, you know, their play flies in the face of this kind of all-in double. This double gaming thing is so silly. I mean, you know, I got caught up in it too. And, you know, not to keep, you know, running over the same tracks, but, you know, it's just two game weeks. I mean, you know, ultimately one good player equals two game weeks. You know, it's you know, it's like one knee equals 2 feet in the NFL. You know, it's well, like one Dele Alli is definitely the equal of a Lanzini and a Lingard. You know,
it's so obvious when you say it like that.
Yeah, when you think about it, but I you know, we all fell into the trap, and now it's so silly.
If only Admiral Akbar were there to save us.
It's a trap. All right, Arsenal. Okay, so this one, this is just a question I have for you, and I think I already know the answer because you talked about it a little bit earlier, but it said, how are you feeling about the triple captain going into Thursday's match?
It's an awful feeling, and I think we've talked about it before on the pod, that feeling of praying for a penalty save from a goalkeeper, praying for a goal from a defender just to save your week. You're asking for the smallest margin. You're asking for the thing that's least likely to happen. So I'm not feeling good about it. While Sanchez, you know, the reason why we triple captain him is because he is that explosive player. And absolutely he could come out and put a hat trick past Forrester.
Sure.
But the odds are we'll see like a very weird Arsenal team that has fits and starts, and Sanchez, if we're lucky, gets a goal. That's my feeling at the moment. So I'm not feeling that great, but you don't want to discount it entirely. You don't want to be too negative.
I like that you called Ben Foster Forrester, by the way. And you're like, he's the man now, doc.
Ben, you're the man now, doc. Well, okay, it's always so confusing to me. So you got Fraser Forrester and Ben Foster. And then when I haven't thought about Ben Foster in a long while, which frankly is often, and then I come back and I have to say Ben Foster's name.
Right. I still feel like you're adding a syllable in Fraser Forster's name, though. It's just Forster. Forster.
Yeah, I know how you spell his name.
You pronounce it Forrester?
Well,
like,
that's
like,
what,
like a forest, a man who walks through a forest? I think
no. Like, oh. So, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, is I basically merged the two names. You've got Ben Foster, Fraser Forster, and I'm like, well, Ben, it's not Ben Forster, it's maybe it's Ben Forrester? It's Ben Foster. Whatever. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. Yeah, you are. You're a little touchy tonight. I can see you're anxious about it. I actually, if I were in your position, I think I would feel okay, because I think there's a pretty good chance that Sanchez puts up a crooked number, as they say in baseball, in Thursday's match. I'm not looking forward to that match at all. I'm actually hoping that
even if he does, predictions from the catbird seat. I love this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to this is just Tucker on Twitter said, having triple captain Sanchez, I actually don't know if this is even a question for the podcast or just a comment email while the match is going on. Having triple captain Sanchez, I'm watching through my fingers as the rivals who have already used triple captain pick up captain points from Aguero. Now, this, it's true, and I know a lot of people felt that way on Twitter. I wonder, and this is pure speculation because I have absolutely no idea, and we had no hint that the chips were coming this year, whether they're going to change the chip system next year. I mean, it could be tweaked a little bit. You know, it feels like you have to be forced to use, one chip every 12 weeks or one in the first half, one in the second half, something. It feels like there's a little too much. It's actually affected some of the creativity in the game, I think,
Yeah.
We've all sort of coalesced in this, like, okay, we got to do it this way. You know, we got a wild card this week. We've got to, use the triple captain this week. Mm-hmm. So.
But what small percentage are we? If you think about the, 3.7 million people playing the game. Yeah. And, here in the States, we're in the middle of doing primary elections for our president. And you can start thinking, how could anyone support this particular candidate? It seems crazy. And then you have to stop and think, a vast majority of people out there are, idiots. So, right. So to tweak the chip system based on the anguish that we're now experiencing this late in the game, the chips that were brought in to keep ghost ships more engaged early in the early stages. So I don't know. I am curious, like you, to know what sort of research is going into it from the Premier League side of things to see how the chips benefited those 3.7 million placers at large, as opposed to just us people listening to Always Cheating.
I don't love them, despite how well this one has worked out for me. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm already inclined to be to overthink FPL and to get too stressed out about it. But to me, it makes things a little too fluky. You know, I don't know. I mean, if Aguero had gone off and scored three or four goals in this match, this kind of coin flip decision, would be 100 points. I mean, making up 100 points in somebody should be something that requires you to go 7, 8, 9 weeks. It should be hard to make up. It shouldn't be something you can just literally play a chip and make it up. You're at a casino or something.
Yeah, I agree. It is the sort of thing that could really turn people off of the game, as opposed to keep people engaged.
I like how tough it is. I like that you get one transfer a week. You play two transfers, and And you're burning 4 points. It just, you know, that's actually really good for casual players. You know, I mean,
this is like the Mount Dew Tour extreme sports version of FPL. Like, this isn't your grandfather's form of FPL. Triple captain. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah.
Bench boost.
You better boost the bench. Booyah.
How about bench all out attack
mode? Oh, yeah.
All right, let's move
anytime on. Anytime, wild card.
All right, this is our final question for the game week. Aguero, KDB, we've talked about them quite a bit already. Are you worried about them being rotated for the weekend? And if so, does that affect any of your decision-making? For me, you know, the one thing it does affect is probably my desire to captain Aguero this game week. I mean, I'll definitely be watching that Pellegrini press conference closely, or not. I'll be watching. I'll be reading the Ben Dinnery Twitter recap afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Aguero is the king of not being rotated when faced with these sorts of game weeks. And it is also the result of Man City never having a reliable second striker, the Wilfred Bonies and Edin Dzekos of their day. Mm-hmm. So
Dzeko was pretty good.
Yeah, Dzeko. I mean,
they got rid of him at the right time, but he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was good, if not just a little inconsistent. Mm-hmm. But KDB, that is the more interesting one to me. Like, I'd have more faith that Aguero starts over KDB, but no, for me, no reason to dump either of these players for 35.
It's just like the Liverpool players. It's just, I think for most managers, it's going to be hard enough to field a full 11. You can't drop players who theoretically will be starting. It does affect my decision to whether or not to captain Aguero. It makes me very disinclined to captain him, but I'm certainly not planning to drop him.
Yeah, worst case scenario, he comes in at the 75th minute in a game that's already done and dusted, and he just sort of wanders around.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to we have two final Twitter questions here, Brandon. First one is, I really love this question, and I love this commenter too. Platonic love from afar. It's a Facebook love.
Chill down there, Romeo.
You write some of the best Facebook posts, some of the great Photoshops. Bad photo. I do bad Photoshops. He actually does pretty good Photoshops. Mitchell Maynard, who says, which Villa players have become must-haves now that the weight is off their shoulders? Which is a
Charlie and Les God line.
Yeah, exactly. I doubt he's taking, I'm sure he's kidding, but,
he's taking the piss, this Mitchell Maynard.
He's taking the piss. I'm not even going to respond because he was just joking.
I'm going to respond.
Oh, do it.
Bradley Guzan, this is your last chance. This is if you have spent your entire life playing Fantasy Premier League and you never fielded Brad Guzan, this is the last chance you'll have. Use it or lose it. It's like your wild card. Use it or lose it.
All right. This brings me to let's read the last question. Then I have one more. I have a different way I want to wrap up this podcast. So, final question is from Mark Johnson. He says, "Question: you two are bearded men. What do you think of Andros Townsend's stylish or pubic?"
I love that. Just describing it as pubic. I totally appreciate Mark asking this question because I was thinking about beards on footballers earlier this weekend while watching the earlier Manchester City match. Nicolas Otamendi, I was trying to figure out what was going on with his beard, because now he's like, first of all, his beard is like uber sculpted. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it's like, I think he's gotten rid of his mustache. So he's like an Amish guy. And I was looking at him and I was thinking, like, this is like the Amish Terminator. He's like an Amish person from the future come to destroy us.
Right. He's like one of those breaking Amish guys. You ever seen Breaking Amish?
Yeah, exactly. So that said, I actually had to go to Google Image and look up what Andros Townsend's beard is looking like these days, because I haven't been I've been watching these Newcastle matches from my phone as of late. And the problem with Townsend's beard is it doesn't come up high enough on his cheek. Now, if you just go go search out Crystal Palace players. Crystal Palace, there is something in the water there in their stadium, because Joe Ledley and Mila Jednak have the two best beards going in the Premier League. And Ledley, he's just like just on the cusp. Like, his beard is almost too big, almost too hipstery, but somehow he reins it in just enough, and it's fantastic.
I agree. It does work on Ledley. I described Townsend's beard on our Facebook page as being a little bit like a Brillo pad. You know, that's sort of what I was like. It's got this kind of, it's like, you know, like, I don't even use like an old, like, once you use a Brillo pad once or twice, it starts to pick up these weird fuzzy like spots on it, you know, sort of popping up here and there. And they're not all together, you know. It's sort of as patchy, you know, as the weird little wire strands in the pad start to sort of break off and break up and out.
Yeah, I mean, Towns' greater problem is he's just like a deeply, deeply unlikable player. I think we need to get beyond that before we can actually grapple with his pubic-like beard.
He did have a moment where he tried to like take on the whole team. I don't know if you saw this near the end of the Newcastle-Man City match, but he tried to dribble through like 11 Man City players.
I'm astounded that Townsend would do something selfish.
Yeah. All right, so the final thing, Brandon, I thought about this because you brought up Brad Guzan a moment ago, and he's clearly our starter. If we had to pick, let's say we went into Game Week 38, and season's over, can't win anything, don't care about what anybody thinks about your overall rank next season, whatever, and uh-huh. you could just make all the transfers you wanted, and you brought in your all – this is your starting 11, just players you like, just like people who you'd want to have in your team, okay? So I think okay. We got Guzan and Gull. Let's do it together. Let's combine.
Okay, yeah, we can agree on, yeah, Guzan. American, yeah. Power.
Mobakani's got to be in there.
Absolutely, free Mobakani. That guy should have kept Norwich up. I'm not saying Norwich is going down, but Mobakani, the power was in his hands. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about?
Should we start strikers? Work our way down.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting caught up in defense, which is a little duller than up top. Okay, so are we going to go three strikers up top?
Yeah, we'll go a three with a 3-4-3 lineup.
All right,
depending on how it works out.
Okay, I mean, Tim Gomes, is it too weird to bring Tim Gomes back for the final game just as a last hurrah, sort of a thank you for the first 4 weeks of the season, you and your big butt?
I don't think so. I think Troy Deeney's got to be in there, though, too.
Yeah, you're right. Troy Deeney is a guy that, I mean, you had him on your team for a while, and I never did. And he's certainly one of the more, speaking of likable, he's one of the more likable guys in the Premier League this season.
Yeah. And, you know, so Mobakani, Deeney, I mean, Jamie Vardy certainly has a case, you know. I love Jamie Vardy. I didn't even mind when he – it was amazing that I wasn't –
when he accosted the referee?
Yeah. He's an emotional guy, Brandon. That's how he plays.
Yeah. He's got a bit of Luis Suarez about him, just like kind of just like totally a sociopath.
Yeah.
I like it less than you do. I would throw Graciano Pelle out there. He's kind of a total doofus, but I love playing Graziano Pelle.
All right, let's cancel. We'll cancel up Pelle on your side. We'll cancel up Vardy on my side, and I think we can agree on Tim Gomes as our third striker.
All right, fair enough. Now the midfield.
Yeah, I got a soft spot for Dele Alli. I have to say, I mean, I don't think they have to be bad at FPL for us to pick them.
Okay, the way I view the midfield in this situation is this is my opportunity to play all of the holding midfielders who, even though they're great, never score any points, like the Kantes of the world. Like, I definitely want to bring Kante in.
What about Mark Albrighton? I've enjoyed watching the big-eared Mark Albrighton all year.
Big-eared Mark Albrighton? Hey, he was on BK Broilers earlier this season. He escaped that Aston Villa descent into madness.
What about James Ward-Prowse, a blast from the past?
Oh, absolutely. Great dead ball specialist. he'd be a good one. Joe Allen. Joe Allen for Liverpool.
Ooh, Joe Allen. The Welsh Zavi. Okay. Okay, so let's go. Yeah, we'll go with those four.
Okay, so Joe Allen, Kante, Dele Alli and Mark Albright. Mark Albright. Fair enough. Okay.
All right, and then that brings us to the defense. Now,
Jack Cork got totally screwed there. Sorry, Cork. Jack, if you're listening.
He's on the bench.
All right, Corky, chill out.
All right, what about defenders? You want Jeff Cameron in there? Is that who you're going to say earlier?
Yeah, I don't know why I went Jeff Cameron. It's just astounding to me that Jeff Cameron is still playing in the Premier League. But there he is, doing his thing.
How about Jonas? You know, I don't even think he's in the Premier League anymore. But let's just bring Jonas
Gutierrez
as a tribute.
I think he was classified as a midfielder when he was actually playing. But here's what we're making an exception, and we'll make him a defender just to. This is sort of the Jonas Gutierrez testimonial team.
Jonas is a defender, is he not? Jonas Gutierrez is a defender.
I'm pretty sure he's classified as a midfielder. You're welcome to look it up if you want.
Yeah, I'm tempted to. all right. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. So Jonas is an honorary defender for the sake of this.
It doesn't matter, he says.
With Jeff Cameron, we've got one more defender to come to finish our 11.
He is the greatest fantasy author of our time, the greatest scorer of defensive goals. Mm-hmm.
Let me guess who you're talking about. Sebastian Prottl.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Basong there for a moment. No, the beloved George R. Russell Martin from the Norwich Canaries. Welcome to the Jonas Gutierrez testimonial squad, my good friend.
Let's just list a few players who didn't make the team. And right now I'm looking at all of the defenders that have 0 points or -1 points on this season.
Wow, that's like not making it to the round of Final Jeopardy because you hit negative dollars.
Marcin Wasilewski, the Leicester defender, who actually played a fair amount last season, has made his way into two matches this year. One of those two matches is the Arsenal match where they conceded two goals after Danny Simpson was sent off. So he picked up a -1 in that match.
How is a guy named Wasilewski not from New Jersey?
And he also played a match away to Everton where they conceded two goals and he had a yellow card. So he picked up 0 points. So on the season, if you had Wasilewski, you'd be at net -1 after 34 weeks.
what a wild ride that would be.
There's Wiggins on Bournemouth, Mason on Aston Villa, Toner on Aston Villa.
Toner?
I think that's just a machine. That's not even a player.
Yeah, he's a cartridge. He's a cartridge with arms and legs.
Walker Peters. Why isn't all of these teams at the? I don't know. This must be a British thing. All of these teams, like whenever they're playing a lot of the young guys, there's always a couple guys that have multiple last names. It's always a Walker. So there's always a Man United have like six of these players. And so Walker Peters on Tottenham has picked up no minutes yet this season.
Oh, he's collecting a paycheck, though, and he's loving every minute of it.
That's right. All right, Brandon. Well, I think that's the end of this podcast. It's been kind of a weird one. You know, it's a strange week. We still have a lot to come. You know, so we'll recap after game week 35. We'll talk about the end of game week 34 and we're coming up on it. The only 4 weeks left in the season. It's crazy.
Oh my God. Just make it stop. It's total madness this season.
I'm a little worn out at this point. I think I'm ready for the summer.
But good luck going into game week 35. Don't be afraid to burn a few points. I think we all need to do that. Hey, before we leave, I just want to say I wrote an article for our good friends at ephesmag.com. Ephes is this cool sports website sponsored by the LA Review of Books, and our friends Justin and Alex run it. And they asked me to write a little something about the Premier League. Yeah. It's less about fantasy and more just about being a fan, watching the games.
I liked it. I read it this morning. I meant to say congratulations. Yeah, nice.
Cool. Thanks, man. Yeah. You know, I can probably quit my job now. They paid me so much money to write it. But Ephes Mag is a really cool site, ephesmag.com. You should go check it out. What else should people do online while they're thinking about always cheating, Josh?
They should find us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. You can also find us on Facebook. There's an Always Cheating Facebook group. You can email us. Our Gmail address is hailcheaters@gmail.com. This has been the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. For Brandon, no, I'm just kidding. I wanted to sign off like a radio host.
That's awesome.
Hail Poku, Brandon.
Hail cheaters, Poku forever.
All right, cheers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.